This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up and down these Michigan roads, yeah.
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
Baby, I'm home.
Well, thank you so much, Parker, and welcome to Time Signatures. I'm your host, Jim Irvin, and today's guest began playing guitar at the tender age of 7. Now, his mother told him that if he learned the song Malagueña by Ernesto Lecuona, that she would allow him to take guitar lessons. It wasn't long, and Nick was playing her favorite song for her. But by the age of 17, he was focused on jazz, blues, fusion, and progressive rock. Following a stint at Berklee College of Music in Boston, he has played with many artists and toured and recorded in studios in New York, L.A., and Nashville, among others. He has over 100 published works to his credit and is founder of Coco Music LLC and co-founder of Underdog Music and Publishing. He is currently a producer, guitarist, and music director with Sunny Blue and the Moons, who also joins us this evening. We're going to talk a little bit about her work as well. But Nicholas Coco and Sunny, welcome to Time Signatures. So good to have you here.
Thank you so much for having us on, and thank you for letting me jump in on Nick's interview.
I have a feeling he's not going to hear the end of this for a while, right?
This is all your fault, Jim.
It's okay.
Well, we're going to have fun, and we're so glad to have both of you here. It's always a great opportunity when I get to talk to and meet new musicians and add them to the fold. And by the way, I wanted to make an announcement before we get going any further. If you notice around the background, for anybody that's watching the program, we recently added the Killer Blues Headstone Project logo. We are doing kind of a reverse sponsorship, but we have also added LCC Connect, which is with the Lansing Community College, the Capital Area Blues Society, and the Blues Society Radio Network. Now, that is a really cool thing that's going on. The BSRN launched about just a few weeks ago, and they are a 24-hour-a-day streaming blues network. And I got to tell you, man, there's lots of good stuff out there, and we are working on getting some stuff from Sunny Blue and the Moons up, and I'm having a good time with these guys. Steve Soviak and Chris Lee are just knocking it out of the park with this new streaming service. Nick, I want to go back to the original story about your mom and her deal with you to take guitar lessons, if and only if you learn that song for her. I need to know more about this story. It sounds like a really cool one, you know?
Well, it was one of my mother's favorite songs on the guitar. All right. And so my brother, my oldest brother, tried to learn how to play guitar, and I guess wasn't very successful at it.
Okay.
So they bought it. They had bought a guitar for him, and I was noodling around with that guitar. It was just sitting in the closet, you know? And so I was noodling around with that guitar, and my mother said, well, you know, if you like that, you know, I would love for you to play. And, you know, nothing really much came of it. And then one day my father came to me and said, okay, son, pick an instrument. What instrument do you want to play? All right. And I said, I want to play guitar. And he said, okay, fine. Here's the deal. You got to work for me. Now understand, I'm 7 years old. Okay.
Right? Sure.
My dad, played saxophone and clarinet and whatnot. And back in the day, he had since stopped by the time I had come around. But he liked for all of his kids to try something musical. Okay.
Very
and
cool.
So he gave me a chance, and he said, all right, I'll make a deal with you. You work for me. All right. And I'll get you guitar lessons. So one of his customers was a successful guitar player in his own right. And my father traded working on his cars for my guitar lessons.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's how I got started in it. And I learned in the old school way.
Sure.
You know, sitting in the chair with the teacher behind you, smacking you when you didn't know your lesson. You only did that a few times.
Yeah.
I still get that feeling back here, you know? I
right,
still get that
right.
feeling back there. But that's how I started. And been blessed, got to do a lot of things since then.
Yeah. Now, Malaguena is far from the blues. I actually listen to it because I like to do my homework. But I'd like to know how you came to be exposed to the genre of blues, and what was it that hooked you in? And Sonny, I want to know your story too, but I want you guys to take turns. Tell me your story of how you guys were baptized into the blues, so to speak.
You want to go first? Or you want me to?
Well, you know, I think you and I, in a way, I kind of feel like we were baptized together in a way.
Okay.
I mean, obviously you've got a lot of more years of experience professionally playing. But Nick and I started performing together in about 2019 or so, is when we met, when we formed Underdog Music and Publishing, and we were writing songs. But Nick had been, and still does, perform at senior homes here in the Metro Detroit area. And he will take his guitar, and he has a friend who plays the saxophone, and they always had a vocalist, and they would do the Great American Songbook, jazz
nice,
standards,
nice. Sure.
Go to, you know? And when we first met, he was like, "Hey, have you ever sung jazz before?" And I was like, "Nope." He's like, "Well, do you know any of these songs?" I'm like, "I guess I've heard them before." And so he actually steeped me in a bunch of jazz at first.
Big band swing jazz.
Big band swing, yeah. But my background was in country music and kind of, you know, church music. That's what I
right.
grew up with.
Okay.
And so as we continued to started writing music, I think is when our style together evolved into blues.
Okay.
Well, yeah, well, for sure. I mean, you know, jazz and blues share a lot in common. Okay.
Yes.
And I grew up listening to big band jazz. Okay. And then when I went to Berkeley, I got exposed to Albert King and B.B. King, and as part of my studies.
Okay.
Okay. And that's when I started to see how the path to rock and roll came about. Okay.
Yes.
So when in studying music is when I got exposed, really exposed to the blues. Okay. And
sure.
It has always been, well, since then, it has always been a part of me. In fact, a lot of the jazz players that I play with will say, "You're too bluesy for jazz." And a lot of the blues players I play with will say, "You're too jazzy for blues." You know?
Yeah.
That's really, you know, where my head is at. I like the fusion of jazz and blues and rock, jazz, blues, and rock. Okay. So
yep.
When you take those three things and you put them together, you get something really great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what my focus is. And when I met Sonny here, I immediately said, I got something here. Okay. Sonny has an amazing voice. And more than that, she has amazing character. And, you know, the first album we did, Breakfast Served Cold, yeah. Right? We did all that in the studio. And I realized after working on this album for almost a year that the only way to really capture her is in the live room.
Okay.
okay? Because when she's standing in the booth, you know, with the microphone and that the headphones on, and she can't move, well, you know what I'm saying, right? It's never like you see it on television, right? And, you know, and that sort of thing. It doesn't project the same.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. So at our studio in Rochester, when we had the studio, I had a live sound stage. Okay. And for her two biggest hits, we recorded those in the live sound room, and there's where she was just performing to an audience. Okay. Even though there wasn't actually anybody there, but on a stage.
Right. Yeah.
That's why those two songs are her biggest songs.
Okay.
Because that's who she is. She's an entertainer. She's an artist. She's an actress. And she portrays the song.
And, you and can't she's got capture. A really good, she's got a really solid presence on stage too. I watched some videos in preparation for the interview. So see, I did a little bit of homework on you too.
Thank you. Thank you.
But
thank you.
I wanted to ask you both, how about your heroes in the blues? You got any people that really inspired you when you started your progress in the blues?
Well, I am a huge fan of Big Mama Thornton. I think I've posted about her before. I tell people that all the time. She grew up in the church, you know, and that's where she got her musical skills to begin with. And that's what I grew up, you know, my first time getting to perform was in the church, you know, with my guitar, with, you know, a band. And that's when I started writing music, and it kind of evolved from there. You know, she wasn't afraid to, you know, try the drums and play the guitar and play the harmonica and who knows whatever else she did, you know what I mean? And I don't think, you know, she worried so much about being the best at it. She just did it because she loved it. And that's how I feel about music too, and getting out there just doing it because you love it, because that's who you are. So she is one of my biggest, I guess, idols, you say. And then I grew up listening to a lot of country music and a lot of, you know, Christian music. But one of the country artists that I grew up listening to that was played on country radio over and over and over again was Bonnie Raitt. So I grew up thinking in my brain, that is country music. That's what a real woman of country music sounds like. And it wasn't until much later on that I realized, oh, she's a blues artist. That's why she has such depth and, you know, to her voice and to her storytelling and everything. I'm like, even though she was played on our country radio station.
Yeah.
So, again, that's a voice that I grew up with that really, you know, helped hone my earring and my hearing and, you know, my appreciation for sound of music and stuff.
How about you, Nick?
Well, I grew up listening to Django Reinhardt. Okay. And now I know that's jazz, but it's blues too. All right. But that's the type of music that I grew up listening to. I started when, like I said, when I got to Berkeley is when I was really exposed to the blues. So studying Albert King, studying B.B. King, like she says in the opening salvo of Slow Burn, you know, all the Kings, right? That's where my appreciation started. So at that point, I was 17 years old. Okay. And once I heard it, I couldn't stop listening to it. Okay. Then I started dissecting other artists, right? Realizing that the Rolling Stones and Eric Clapton and all these folks that were, idols, if you will, of the pop rock world, or rock yes. pop world, however you want to say that, right? The rock world, right?
Yeah.
Were really brought up on blues. Mm-hmm. And I, in studying the music, I learned something that I guess I just, that's what school is for, right? You learn.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right? So what the Beatles did, what the Rolling Stones did, what Aerosmith did, they took this blues music, which was all emotional and raw, and merged it with classical music.
Yes, sir.
They put it on the meter.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And that's what made it broadly popular. Broadly popular, because the story is the same story.
Yes. Yeah.
But now all of a sudden, you it's not just something to listen to, it's something to move to.
Okay? All right. Well, you are listening and watching Time Signatures. I'm your host, Jim Urban. Along with me today is Nick Coco and Sonny of Sonny Blue. We're glad to have both of you here today and having a good time talking about the blues. And I want to go back to that point where you talked about the mix of blues. When I talk about the blues to people, I view blues as a buffet, if yes. you will. Yes. You've got a little bit over here. You got a little bit of rock over here. You got a little jazz over here. You got a little hard rock. Anthony Gomes, for example.
Yes, absolutely. I see his record cover right behind you.
No, that's a signed poster that I got from him last week in at the Token Lounge.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah, I have a couple of spots on my wall where I rotate stuff, and you're the first person to catch something new, and that's kind of cool. But yeah. I do. I like to rotate. I mean, Thornetta, I generally leave there. But B.B. King, I leave there. I've got Freddie and Marge, I leave on my wall. But a lot of the other 11x17s, I float in and out. And of course, Bonamassa, I've got his poster over there that's signed, and I'm not going to take those down, the bigger ones, but the smaller ones I can change out. But I wanted to shift gears a little bit. And I'm going to ask both of you, because I generally ask in all of my interviews, the following question: how did the pandemic affect you and your trajectory? I mean, I know you said you just had gotten started, but for Sonny Blue and the Moons, you had some time off. What did you do? How did you process that period of time?
So, like I said, when Nick and I first met, we started Underdog Music and Publishing, and mm-hmm. we were writing music, and I was recording the demos, and we were sending them out. Okay. And there were artists working on our music, getting ready to tour with a song or record a song. All kinds of things were happening. It was like, wow, stuff's really happening. And then COVID happened and like everything stopped, studio shut down, all the tours yeah. were canceled. And so we're just sitting there looking and we're like, we have songs, we have this stack of songs. And what do we do? Do we just keep recording demos, or, do we stop writing? What do we do? And we both decided, you know what? Maybe it's time for us to do something for ourselves and to start our music journey together. And so
awesome.
COVID was, I think, the main reason we were able to put the first album together. We took some songs that we thought made a really nice album, and we had the studio in Rochester. Nick was there every day. I was there every day. We're doing everything to build a brand, to launch a brand. We're building a website. We're getting all the social media. We're recording music, doing all of that during COVID. We have our friend, drummer Paul Kastick, lives in Jamaica. He's Jamaican. And Nick wow. is sending the tracks back and forth and back and forth. And he'd do a track and then he'd redo a guitar part. And then he'd send it again and be like, I got a different idea. Then he'd retrack it. So it was months of back and forth and back and forth of sending tracks. And then our good friend Alex Karasinski recorded the bass on the first album. And again, he'd come into the studio and he'd play stuff. And he helped He was the assistant producer on that first album as well. And it was really just Nick and I and Alex in a studio for a couple of months and Paul Kastic in a studio in Jamaica. And it wouldn't have happened without COVID. So in a way, I'm very grateful for that. It gave us time to launch the brand. Sure. But of course, coming out of the COVID era, it was like, you know, the music's out there, the name's getting out there, but oh, now, you know, all the clubs and all the festivals were so backlogged now. And so then getting in front of an audience became very, very difficult those first 2 years. And so here we are in the third year, and we're finally getting in front of the people who want to see us. We're getting in front of the fans. We're going on our first tour in May. So, you know, they always say it takes like 3 years to establish a brand, to really build your business, whatever kind of business it is. And here we are, year three, and it finally feels like, you know, the clouds are parting and things are starting to look a little bright.
All right, Nick, how about you?
Well, I think she said everything.
I was going to say, I'm waiting for you to go, yeah, what she said.
What she said. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we lived it together. COVID, so the pain of COVID, right? The pain of COVID is I lost my studio.
Yeah.
I don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. I did everything I could to keep it alive. Sunny did everything she could to help me keep it alive.
Yeah.
And it just, we couldn't. The business just wasn't there. Okay.
Yeah.
And the bills were going up.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the downside to it. Now, with that being said, Sunny and I get to live in the studio now. Right? So
There you go.
Basement, that's where we've been recording all of our tracks and rehearsing with the Moons. You see the bookshelves over there? So right now they're up against the wall, but we pop them out so that I can get behind them.
And that becomes my vocal booth when we're recording. And there's some
very
foam
cool
back behind there, but like they're pushed back now, but we'll fold them out the other way. And that's where I do all my recording. And then between takes, I switch the laundry, and, you know.
Now, listen, I know that in the interest of fairness, I should turn my camera around and show you my office. This is actually my work office. I work for the state of Michigan. My work computer is there. Over here is my other computer. And then, of course, I've got my 32-inch monitor that I use. So it's kind of nice because it's almost like a teleprompter because I can read my questions from it and not have to, you know, look at a list. But I'm very much the same. I have a work studio here, which, you know, I mean, it looks really big, but it's not. It's cozy. It's comfortable. And I'm actually excited to have a couple of people come in and be able to interview some folks live in the studio. Twyla and Benjamin Richard Hall are going to be coming here in a couple of weeks. Fabulous. Really excited to do that one. But I want to flip the page here. Looking at your website, looks like you and Sunny are stepping out, like you said a few minutes ago, Sunny, going out on a tour. Talk about that tour and it's obviously for the promotion of this newest CD, but talk about where you're going to go and how exciting is that now on the backside of COVID, now that the crowds are coming back and you're able to get out there again.
Okay. Now I'm going to say one thing. I'm going to let Sunny talk, but I want to say one thing.
Sure.
This tour is actually in support of all three of our CDs because
nothing
we haven't been
that
out to support it yet.
Okay.
Right. So I did want to say that. Go ahead, Sunny.
Okay. So I'm sorry. You changed. What was the original question? Because
I just wanted to talk about the tour a little bit. Where are you going to go? How exciting is it to be able to be back out there again?
It's very exciting. So, I got invited to perform at the North Central Florida's Women in Blues Showcase. Like I said, I just did the one in Memphis in January, and we got an invite to do this show in Gainesville in May.
Okay.
And so we're like, we're going to do that. So we might as well route our way down and route our way back. And so we have eight performances we're doing. We're doing Ohio, West Virginia. We're going to be in Gainesville for the Women in Blues event. We're doing three nights in Panama City, two nights in Memphis, and then Illinois. So, and then back to Michigan.
Wow.
Just so in case people don't know where we're from, we are just north of Detroit. So, yeah, Michigan to Florida and back up through Memphis. So
with the full band.
Yeah, with our drummer, Tom Sumner, who is here in the Detroit area, and Cece Williams. She actually played with the Gail Herod Band in Memphis, and okay. She's actually going to be part of the house band for Women in Blues down in Florida. So she's flying to Detroit. She's joining us on our tour and, leaving from here. So she's joining us. I'm very excited to have her with me. Finally have another woman on the bus. That'll be nice.
Oh, man, you're going to get outvoted now, Nick. What are you going to do?
Like I had to say anyways.
No, but I have to say, between Nick Coco and Aunt Bello, they did a great job getting us the shows. Ann and Nick just worked together. Ann took care of all the stuff in Florida. Thank you, Ann. We love you. And then Nick worked really hard. I mean, hours and hours and hours on the phone with people, getting everything scheduled. And it's all him, man. He made it happen.
Well, it's actually, I got to say, what made it a lot easier is playing at National Women in Blues. When we called the venues, contacted the venues, many of them knew her name.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was very exciting. Yeah. That was very exciting.
Okay. That was a blessing. I mean, I think all artists kind of wait, you wait to level up, and you're trying to get always just kind of level up. And if any woman who can get into the Women in Blues kinds of showcases and stuff, that is a big deal. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity. Michelle Seidman, who runs National Women in Blues. You're amazing. I love you. And again, it's because, women taking care of women, women helping women. And sure. I'm so appreciative.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, Jim, go ahead.
If you ever get the chance to interview Michelle Seidman, you should.
Okay.
She has amazing blues stories.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. Blues stories.
Well, you and I will be talking, or Sonny and I, one of us, we trust me, I promise you, I will be talking to you guys about this. Absolutely. As we get ready to close here, can you believe we've already gone through almost a half an hour? It's ridiculous how quick these things go, but where can people get more information on Sonny Blue and the Moons? Where can they buy your merch, your CDs? And most of all, if somebody wants to book you while you're out and about, how do they reach you?
Okay, great. Well, yeah, everybody can go to sunnyblue.com, spelled right there, SUNNYBLEAU, sunnyblue.com. All of our show dates are listed there, merchandise, music, everything. And of course, our music is on all the major streaming platforms. And please go to YouTube and like and subscribe our channel there, because Sonny Blue and the Moons, we've been putting out a handful of different music videos, some live music stuff. We've got lyric videos on the way. So there's a lot of stuff coming up, and all they gotta do is hit that little subscribe button on YouTube for Sonny Blue.
And please also, while you're at it, subscribe to Jim Irwin's show.
Yeah,
I appreciate
absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
Appreciate
and if anybody
that.
Ever really needs to get a hold of us, social media, message us through social media. Nick and I manage our social media.
Yep,
so
Facebook.
You're usually talking to one of us at one point in time. I'll go to like reply to somebody and then realize, oh, he already replied. So things like that. So, it's Nick and I do it all. There's no middle people. So if you need to get a hold of us, message us if you're interested in booking, or you can go to sunnyblue.com and our press kit is there. All of our links, everything's right there.
Well, Nick, Sonny, it's such a pleasure to have you guys with us. Thank you so much. Continued success. But thank you so much for being with us.
Well, Jim Irvin, we'd love to make it out your way.
Love to see you up this way. That would be fun. Yeah.
Would be. So, you're not far.
No, not at all. Anyway, want to thank you again for being with us. And Jim Irvin reminding you, keeping the blues alive, that's all of our responsibility. But
yes,
preserving the history of the blues one story at a time, that's my mission. Until next time, so long.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on cabs, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.